Kingdom Mysteries, Part 2, A Cloud of Witnesses. And Yeshua said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of Yahweh. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Mark 4:11-12, quoting Isaiah 6:9-10. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This Yeshua, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Acts 1:9-11. Too often, and more often than not, we have a tendency to read the only words we are given in the eyewitness accounts of the life of Yeshua through a filter of the culture we live in instead of from the Hebraic perspective they were originally written in almost 2,000 years ago. Since then, they have gone through several layers of translations, each carrying their own cultural interpretation with them, and subsequently enveloped into the next translation. As a result, the popular image that pops into the mind when the ascension is mentioned is that of the sun floating off into the heavenlies somewhere above the clouds. But since words mean things, if we just look at what these words say in the original language they were written in, a different picture emerges. In this passage from Acts 1:9-11, the English versions do not say he ascended into heaven. They say he went up. But what does up really mean? In verse 9, the two words translated to English as lifted or taken up come from the single Greek word ipario, meaning to raise on high, as in to exalt. In verse 10, the two English words went up come from the single Greek word poruio, meaning to lead over, carry over, transfer, to pursue the journey on which one has entered, to continue on one's journey, to depart. In verse 11, the two English words gazing up come from the single Greek word emblipo and means to turn one's eyes on, to look at. Also in verse 11, the two English words taken up come from the single Greek word analambanio, meaning to take a thing in order to carry or use it. If we are to get a clear understanding of what is actually being conveyed through these words, it is important to notice that not any of these definitions have any association with a physical direction. So then, where did he go? This type of non-directional use of the word up in the Greek language is similar to usage found in 2 Corinthians 12:2, where Shaul, the Hebrew apostle Paul, says he was caught up into the third heaven. The two English words caught up in this verse come from the single Greek word harpazo, meaning to seize, carry off by force, to seize on, claim for oneself eagerly to snatch out or away. Again, non-directional. This is the same Greek word used in the description of how Philip was caught up or away in Acts 8:39. They were both caught away into another dimension. They stepped into a dimension of spirit which is in keeping with the description used in John 20:26 of Yeshua when he appeared and stood in the midst of where the disciples were inside a room where the doors and windows were locked shut. It doesn't say he wafted in through the wall. He merely appeared. He stepped out of one dimension into another. While the English word translated cloud in Exodus 13:21 comes from the Hebrew word anan and is used of the cloud which led the Israelites in the wilderness, it was more like a fog than a cloud of shape and form in the sky. It is also used of a vast contingent of people as a covering for the land in Ezekiel 38:9. The Hebrew author of the book of Hebrews carries forward this Hebrew simile with his usage of the Greek nephos in reference to a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12:1, meaning a large, dense multitude, a throng. When Yeshua left that day, there was an assemblage of the faithful in observance of the event. But his leaving was merely an extension of the way he appeared in the room mentioned above, out of one dimension into another, witnessed by those present. This is the same type of occurrence as what is recorded having happened on Shavuot, which is renamed as the English Pentecost, although with more fanfare. Also, Scripture does not say his return would be exactly as he went. It says in like manner, meaning in the same way, in similar fashion. What does that mean, in like manner? Is it such a stretch of the imagination to think that the cloud that took Yeshua out of their sight could possibly be, in accordance with all of those definitions, a cloud of witnesses? Those who have embraced his life to become his body? Thus says Yahweh, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Isaiah 66:1. Is there a real heaven? There is, but it must be seen from the Hebraic perspective. These Hebrew texts define it in order to understand that heaven is not a place, but rather a state of being. The usual Hebrew word for heaven is shamayim, which means height or elevation, and comes from an unused root meaning to be lofty or elevated. The Hebrew word marum is also used as an equivalent to shamayim, meaning high places or heights, while the phrase heaven and earth is used to indicate the whole universe. According to Hebrew scripture, there are three heavens: the firmament, as fowls of the heaven; the starry heavens, that which can be seen. And while the religion of Christianity has laid exclusive claim to it, the heaven of heavens, or the third heaven, referred to by Shaul in 2 Corinthians 12:2, but actually originates in the original writings of Deuteronomy 10:14, 1 Kings 8:27, and Psalm 148:4. Therefore, with the Hebraic definition of heaven considered to be that which is lifted up or exalted, lofty, It is to this exalted place this discussion is focused, for that is where the throne of Yahweh is located. One of the definitions of the Hebrew word Shamayim, or heaven, is abode of Yahweh. There is a difference between the heavenlies and the kingdom of heaven where Yahweh abides. Yeshua declared heaven to be Yahweh's throne in Matthew 5:34. Therefore, when Yahweh changed his place of abode, his dwelling place, into the hearts of men who would embrace his nature on Yom Shavuot, or the day of Pentecost, heaven moved with him. This is the day when the covenant Yahweh made with himself was fulfilled. For it was on this day that the same words originally given in stone and accompanied with fire were now able to be written on the hearts of men. The manner of delivery had changed, but they are still the same words with the same accompaniment of fire. On the day of Shavuot, Yahweh did a new thing by placing his abode in the hearts of men, thus fulfilling his covenant. Yeshua has returned just as he had left, in a cloud of witnesses. Yahweh's throne is set where his kingdom is. The kingdom of Yahweh tells us who it belongs to. The kingdom of heaven tells us where it is located. But there is only one kingdom Yeshua was sent to restore to his family. Since heaven is Yahweh's throne, when his throne moved, heaven moved with him, and the essence of his nature and character could now be etched on the beings of men willing to fashion and conform their lives after his nature, thus fulfilling his promise to Israel, his Hebrew family, to restore what had originally been purposed in the Garden of Eden, a people who would manifest his name, his image, and present the light of his being by their behavior to the world. So when Ephesians 2:4 through 6 speaks of us having been, past tense, quickened together with Yeshua, now present tense, and most don't have a problem considering that to have already taken place, why should it be such a leap to consider that when we embrace his example of life, we are currently sitting in heavenly places in him right now? And if you then be risen with Yeshua, present tense, where Yeshua now sits on the right hand of Yahweh, set your affection on things above. In other words, the more excellent things connected with an elevated state of being, not on things on the earth. In other words, the common affections found in men on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Yeshua in Yahweh. Again, present tense. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, which exists within us and is accessible to us right now. Therefore, in the light of what these words of Scripture actually say and mean, can we not conclude, since we are in Yeshua, who is in Yahweh and dwells in heaven, that when our affections are on those heavenly things, those things above, of a higher state of being, we likewise are dwelling in heaven with him and not the earth, right now, today? Those manifesting the nature of Yahweh as exampled in the life of Yeshua have become the cloud of witnesses validating who he is. to the world. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10.